people say, I want to be successful. I say, what does that mean? Then they got to stop and think about it. It's like, we all want to be successful, but we're not sure what success means. We all want to be successful, but we're not sure why we want to be successful. Well, that's not adding up.
Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeld, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high-performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started. Welcome everyone to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Arkfeld, president and founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. And today I have a very special guest, Corey Chadwick, who I'm really excited to hear from. He is the founder of The Mental Gym, which is a business designed to help you live your 10. Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Adam, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
All right. So I'm, as I've told you, really excited about this podcast because we're going to be covering mindset, the mental side of being an entrepreneur, a business owner, which is, you know, I could talk about for days. So, but first, before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about what The Mental Gym is and just sort of how it works conceptually as a business.
Sure. We're very familiar with the idea of exercising our bodies and working out our bodies. We know how important that is. We have gyms for our bodies. Well, this is a gym for your mind. It's a place to work out with like-minded people for 1 hour once a week. We stretch you to think differently. We stretch you to explore different perspectives so you can be who you want to be and live the life that you're here to live. We're all about, like you mentioned, big on mindset, helping you build the tools, the thought patterns, and the habits to really bridge that gap between, well, living a 6 or a 7 and living your 10. And we like to think of life on a scale from 1 to 10. You're not here to live a 6 or a 7. You're here to live your 10, and we're here to help you do that.
Now, I'm sure that this business model didn't just come out of, you know, I mean, it probably came out of thin air to some degree, but I would love to hear, you know, what kind of pushed you in this trajectory. You know, what's the foundation of starting this business?
Yeah, sure. This goes back for me, like as a young guy, being a teenager, I thought differently. I loved thinking about things in a different kind of way. My dad was a lawyer, and he'd come home from dinner every night and ask me legal questions and get me to think about things differently. I loved playing devil's advocate, which was frustrating, but also I loved it. My mom was a therapist, so I've always liked to think about things a little bit differently. I like math and learning how things worked. My brain worked in a very analytical sort of way. And what I found was we kind of typically just follow a blueprint for life. We do things the same way we always have. We think the same way we always have. And I wanted to learn how to do things differently. I went through some tough times growing up that kind of forced me to start working on my mental fitness to kind of change my thought patterns, really just for survival purposes. I didn't want to go down a road that some people close to me were going down, and I thought I might. And I just started working on myself, really just to kind of survive at first. And then it just kind of morphed into some kind of thriving mechanism the more I learned and worked on it. I'll kind of fast forward a whole bunch. I was in a business where I owned my own business. I was doing well. I was successful. I was checking the boxes. I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel like I was getting to realize my potential. I didn't feel like there was much purpose in what I was doing. My relationships weren't where they needed to be. I just felt like there was more to life and I didn't know what it was. And as I just kind of kept developing this system, if you will, I started figuring it out more and sharing it with other people. Where the business started was probably about a little over five years ago. When my first son was born, I felt this real sense of responsibility to do something good with what I had. And I started teaching it to people. And I started working with teenagers at the time, because I remember thinking, like, I would love this when I was a teenager. I would have done anything to have access to this. And then just bit by bit over time, working with different types of people, with business owners, with team leaders, with families, or coaches, athletes, teaching them the same thing and kind of stretching their thinking, teaching them a different way of making decisions and understanding who they are and who they could be. And I was always looking kind of for like the better way to do it, you know, to work out our minds. It's, you know, therapy is not the answer for everybody. Typical personal development isn't everybody's answer. And I always thought that, you know, I've got something here. I was in the middle of a CrossFit class one day, And I loved CrossFit because of that community feel. You show up, you work out together, you push each other to be better. It doesn't matter where you are. It could be your first day in CrossFit. You could be going every day for 10 years. You're still in that class together. You're supporting each other. And you're bringing out the best in each other. And you're there for 1 hour once a week. Or sorry, 1 hour in and out kind of thing. And I loved that. And the light bulb went off right in the middle of a class one day that we've got these gyms for our bodies. We need a gym for our minds. And so I got to work on the mental gym. And that's what brings me here, speaking with you today, I guess. It's that very same idea. Show up, work out with like-minded people, push yourself to be better, come back next week, do it again.
Yeah. Tell me, you mentioned that you ran a business that was probably by most people's perspectives a successful one, but you said you just felt unfulfilled. I mean, what did that look like at the time?
I was in the restaurant and bar business, and I feel like it kind of followed a similar trajectory to most people. It's kind of maybe not what you thought you were going to do or planned, but you just kind of were good at it and ended up doing it. I was never passionate about this. I was just good at it. And what happened was the more I grew my business and the more money I was making and the more boxes I was checking, I felt kind of confused because I grew up thinking money and business success equals happiness. Like it was the same thing. And when I realized that the more kind of successful I was by traditional measures, I wouldn't say the less happy I was, but I wasn't any happier. And it really confused me. And I just kept feeling like there was something missing and I didn't know what it was. There was like this gap. It's like the dots weren't connecting. The puzzle pieces weren't coming together. And it was a really stressful time for me. The better business got, and also the less I was working on my business, because as business was running better, I had really great mechanisms in place that I didn't have to work that hard or work that long in a week. I had tons of time to myself. And I just felt, I was getting stressed. I was getting anxious. I was losing sleep because it just felt like I was at a place in my life where I needed more out of life and I wasn't getting it. And it was confusing for me. Again, it was just because I learned one thing and now my reality wasn't matching up with what I had learned. I ended up deciding to sell the business and just kind of move away from that so I could go figure out what it is I really want to do with my life. You know, kind of the kind of thing you tend to do when you're like 18 or 19. I was doing this in my 30s. But it was the right move. It was a great time in my life. I learned a ton. I loved it. I worked with some amazing people. But you know, you're not here to kind of hit your ceiling when you're in your 30s or 40s. And I feel like too many of us just accept life that way. And we're selling ourselves short. I just didn't want to sell myself short.
Yeah. Well, it's, I've seen a couple of different entrepreneurs that have sold their businesses and inevitably they either before or after it's kind of like, well, what do I do now? They have money and now they have this like blank canvas and they don't even know what they like. It's like, they don't know what they're passionate about. They don't know what they want to do. And one of the discussions I had, there was a whole conversation around, you just kind of, a lot of people get to a point, and myself included to a large degree, of just kind of like almost random circumstances in your life, like push you in one way or another. And then you end up in a career or a job that you maybe love or don't love, but it's like your parents said they wanted you to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Or you were at a job fair and like something happened that pulled you in a direction or whatever, something happened in your life. And then you're not making intentional decisions. And then you're like 40.
Yeah.
And you're here and you may be successful financially, but you didn't really choose the life that you're living. You just sort of fell into it.
Yep. It's really common.
Yeah. I feel like that's very common. So you decided some version of that circumstance, you decided to sell the business. That was sort of your solution at the time to kind of move out of that headspace.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was going to do next either. I had no plan. I had no idea. I said, just don't rush it. Don't force it. Take some time off. I traveled, I learned how to golf. I became a good golfer just cause I played a lot, which was a ton of fun, but I wasn't putting a lot of pressure on myself to figure it out. Although I was getting impatient and that happened pretty quickly. the kind of semi-retired life was a lot of fun, but it's not what I wanted. And I actually kind of went back to what I knew. I went back to the well. I found a partner, and we were developing a new restaurant and bar concept that was really cool. And I think we could have done really well at, and I was kind of working on it for about a year, but then realized like you walked away from this for a reason. You don't go back to it just because you don't know what else to do. Listen to your gut, follow your heart. You'll figure it out. And I kind of walked away from that project. I just kind of handed it to him and I said, there, you can have it. To my partner. And it took me a while. It really did. It was frustrating. I was really impatient. The light bulb that went off for me was, it was weird. I always knew how much I loved helping people and helping people be their best. Like my success in that business, in the restaurant and bar business, had nothing to do with food or drinks. I was just really great with people and building teams and building cultures and things like that. But for whatever reason, it wasn't kind of front and center on my radar that I just wanted to help people. And once that switch flipped, then my trajectory changed. And I started finding the answers I was looking for.
So, you know, you talk about, you know, part of your business is helping people live their 10. What does that mean? Like, how do you define that? You know, what does that mean for somebody?
Sure. In a real kind of nutshell, we're all familiar with the terms, you know, be your best self and live your best life. I'm going to add to that, do it your way on your own terms. But that's what living your 10 is about. For me, it started as I was in a low spot in my life, and I lost my mom in a pretty terrible way. And it was a very kind of low place in our lives. And I kind of was on this scale again, from 1 to 10, I was really low on that scale. And I found myself kind of looking up and recognizing for the first time in my life that there is this scale, that life just doesn't exist because it exists. You can actually choose where you want to be on this scale. And I asked myself, like, what is the most important thing in life? Like, what do you really want out of life? What's the most important thing? And I said, well, I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to feel fulfilled. Everything else is just about feeding that. If you think about the work that we do, like why we go to work and why we make money and why we do things with our family, it's because we want to be happy. That's what we're trying to do here. And then I asked myself the question. I said, well, on a scale from 1 to 10, like, how happy do you want to be? How fulfilled do you want to be? And it just didn't make a lot of sense to me to say, well, I'll be good with a 6 or a 7. So I said, I'm going to live my 10. So I decided to live my 10 before I really understood what it meant. I just kind of planted my flag in the ground and said, I'm going to go do it. But that's still what it's about. It's about learning how to be happy and fulfilled in your life, doing it your way. It's not about quitting everything and leaving everything and moving to some deserted island or being a monk or anything like that. It's about, you know, you've got a life to live and this is how you're doing it. How do we make it the best it can be? How do we optimize it? How do we help you find real happiness and fulfillment in the life you're living now? And again, not a 6 or 7, live your 10.
Someone listening to this podcast right now, you know, what are some of the common symptoms you see of someone living a 6 or a 7 that, you know, would indicate to them that there's more out there, that, you know, like what are signs appearing in their life? Like what are just some of the things that kind of show up for people that are living a 6 or a 7?
Great question. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody. One of the big things for me was I feel like I kind of woke up one day and you're getting out of bed and you're getting on with your life and you realize like, this is my life. Like this is what it is. And this is the way it is. And I just asked myself, is this it? Like, is this all that life's about? And it's not like it was bad. I had a lot of good things going for me. I was checking a lot of boxes, but I just felt like there's got to be more to life than this, right? And I feel like the more people that I've spoken with about that over the years, the more that that's a common symptom is that, like, is this it? I'm not complaining. I'm not saying life's bad, but like, is this all there is? It does feel like something's missing. You feel unsatisfied. People living their 6 or 7 generally have good careers, good jobs. They're checking boxes. You know, they're not like struggling to get by in life. They're either, they got, you know, house, family, you know, partner, kids kind of thing, things going well, or they're kind of earlier in that stage. They know they want the family and the house and the mortgage kind of life, but trying to pick that trajectory or make the right choices for them. But you are checking boxes. Things are going well. You are successful by traditional measures of success. You don't hate your life by any stretch. You actually like your life, and you've got good people in your life who you love, and they love you, and you're probably good at your work, but you've just got this feeling that something's not clicking for you. Like, you haven't figured it out yet. And it's frustrating for you, because the truth is, some people are absolutely cool living a six or a seven. They're cool. They're like, my life's fine. I don't need to change it. I don't want to do anything. I'm good where I am. If that's who you are, awesome. Like, I'm not here to tell you shouldn't be like that or to do anything differently. But for the rest of us, and I felt this my whole life, like, there's a version of myself that I believed I could be. I didn't exactly know who that guy was, but it just felt like there was a big gap between who I was and who I could be and who I wanted to be. And I didn't know how to get from here to there. And that's a common symptom too. It's like, here's where I am. Here's where I want to be. I don't know how to get from here to there. I can't even tell you how to get from here to there, but I feel like there's a part of me that needs to figure that out, that needs to kind of be that person that wakes up inspired in the morning and looks yourself in the mirror and you're proud of who you are and you're inspired by who you're becoming. We should all have that. And if you're kind of feeling that way right now, then you're right there in that sweet spot, like so many of us.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine that people that have the mortgage and the job and the family and the kids probably feel trapped if they're feeling that way. So what advice do you give someone that is in that position, that they have obligations of, you know, financial obligations, and they may run a business or be a key person in a business, but it's not what they want to do? Like, what's the advice and path for someone like that?
Yeah, I think something that gets in people's way of making change and living a better life is feeling like they need to overhaul their life to do it. When really what we work on in the gym and what we're really big on is the idea of small tweaks and adjustments consistently. Like, each week in the gym, we work on a new concept. And week in and week out, you just work on yourself, make choices a little bit differently, make adjustments a little bit differently. Yes, sometimes you get to a point where you say, I got to make some bigger changes in my life. But the truth is, it's these little changes, these small adjustments that add up and add up and add up and add up. What we find a lot is the people that you just described, you know, who have kind of laid down your roots, if you will, they're not looking to get out of their life. They don't want to leave their wife and give up on their kids and take off somewhere. That's not what they're looking for. They're not looking to get out. They just want to go up. And so we help them go up. It's about optimizing your life. It's about, you know, creating a greater work environment for yourself, showing up as a better parent, as a better partner. If it's about finding a new career, then you'll be able to do that too. But really, you've got to understand not just what you want to do, but you got to understand who you want to be and who you're capable of being, so that you can decide what you want to do. I think the worst things people could do is just bounce around from one thing to another just for the sake of change. And I'm all for experimenting, and I'm all for trying new things to see what you like and what you don't like. But we've got to put who you are ahead of what you do. Then the pieces come together properly. So don't worry about overhauling your life. I would say kind of get to work on leveling up.
Yeah. And it's, you know, spending that time, you know, it's sort of hard to set aside time to sit down and think of, like, who do I want to be? You know, it's such a weird, like, big esoteric question that you're just like, you know, on a Tuesday, like,
yeah, right.
And set aside a couple hours, think about who I want to be, you know? So it's good advice to kind of, you know, think about that first and foremost, and then kind of create a path there instead of just bouncing around. Now, in the mental gym, I mean, can you give me an example of some of the types of questions that, or prompts or whatever, that you might have from week to week that, you know, people ask themselves? Like, what are a few examples of those exercises?
Yeah, again, and I agree with you, sitting down and carving out some time to ask yourself those big high-level questions, that can be a lot and it can be quite intimidating. That's why we do it in really small bite-sized chunks, so that it never feels intimidating. And we do want to stretch you. We want to stretch you to learn and grow and be better, but we don't want to, it's not like ripping off a Band-Aid. You know, it's just, again, a little bit at a time, and everybody goes at their own speed and their own pace. Like right now, I think it's a really good example where we've been working a lot on defining success for ourselves. And each of our members is in the process as we speak, depending on when this airs, but on defining success for themselves. We recognize what traditional success means. We recognize that every single one of us has been influenced and shaped by our friends, our family, school, society, media, and all that stuff. So what would happen if we stripped it all down, if we tried to forget everything we knew? We ask ourselves that simple question, what do I really want out of life? And then almost treat it like a math equation. I mentioned earlier, I like math, or at least I did growing up. What's a very simple math equation? So if I'm trying to solve an equation and the thing I'm trying to solve for is my happiness and fulfillment in life, what does that equation look like? What do I need to prioritize? If it's A plus B plus C equals me living my 10, what's A plus B plus C for me? And not because somebody else told me it has to be this way, but what's actually going to help me not just live a little bit of a better life, but live my best life? And when you work on these things a little bit at a time, when you really break them down into very manageable parts, it just makes a lot of sense. And the math gets a lot easier. So that's just one example of things that we work on. And again, stretching you to think differently about it.
What are some of the mindsets that you see people have that are sort of, you know, like limiting beliefs? You know, like, what is it that you typically see people coming into? I don't know if you call it a program. You call it a program, or
we just call it the gym. You're coming
into
the gym.
All right, coming to the gym. Nice. Should have been
going to the gym. Yeah.
Coming into the gym, having about their lives that, you know, really limit who they can become. And what are some of those patterns that you see with all of your members?
There's a real commonality that this is who I am. This is how life works. This is how it is. This is the way it's always going to be. I remember when I was younger, I started asking those questions a lot of kind of my parents' friends and family. Why do you make this decision? Why are you that career choice, or why are you doing this thing in your relationship? And the answer that I heard over and over again was, well, I don't know. That's just the way you do it. That's just the way life works. And that is a common thought pattern of people coming into the gym. They say, I know I want more out of life. I know it feels like, you know, I've got another level to get to. I want to be a higher performer. I want to be a better parent, a better partner, a better leader, all these things. I'm trying to just figure out where I want to go next. But there's this limitation on who I'm capable of being and what I'm capable of achieving, based entirely on past experience and kind of what you've learned from the people around you. Another one is that people say, well, you can't actually be that happy. It's, you know, there's this kind of a limit on how happy you can be or how fulfilled you can be. And again, I would say, based on what? What are you basing that assumption on? They think that, well, nobody can be happy all the time. Well, that's true. Living your 10 is not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. It's your life. This isn't a math test. It's real life. If you've ever been in a relationship or anything like that, you know there's no such thing as perfect. But that's a misconception too, that nobody can be that happy because nobody can be happy all the time. Well, great. I agree with you. Nobody can be happy all the time. You can be fulfilled all the time. They're different things. And we want to help you do that. Those are some real common ones. I hear the words realistic a lot from people coming in. That's a word they like to use a lot. And I'm not a big fan of the word. Realistic based on what? Based on who? It's not science. We're not talking physics here. Even if we are talking about science and physics, there's plenty of examples of that changing and evolving over time. So those are some of them where we've defined success for ourselves. I am successful. This is what life is. This is how life works. And then we kind of cap ourselves on that. And so it feels like we just keep hitting a ceiling in our lives. And that's when you feel like you've plateaued. Actually, that should go back to one of your previous questions about one of the symptoms. It's that feeling like you've plateaued. But yeah, these are all common ones that show up. But again, despite these limiting beliefs that we have and this kind of mindset that we've capped on ourselves, there's still this other voice in you that's saying, but I still want more out of life. And it's not more stuff, right? It's not more money. It's not more things. It's not more Instagram likes. It's just, there's this gap here that I need to bridge. But I just don't know how to do it. And too much of the time we feel like if we don't know how, there must not be an answer. That's not true. Just you haven't figured it out yet. It took me 20 years to figure it out. So
yeah.
So don't sweat it. That's what we're here for.
Well, that realistic sort of comment is really interesting. Because it's like, you know, someone's coming to you clearly wanting more, mm-hmm. but then like, even in the same conversation, it's like, well, that's not realistic. It's in there, you know, it's like, I'm desiring this, but I'm basically telling myself it's not possible all at the same time, which is sort of a bizarre self-sabotage that I'm sure a lot of us do. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking about this, I mean, when I was a kid, I ate terribly up until I was like 30. I just ate like garbage. Like I would look at, I mean, terribly. So at one point in time, I started trying keto and I'm not like a health nut by any means, but I was like, ah, keto, this sounds interesting. I'll give this a shot, whatever. I saw a level of energy in myself that I've literally never felt before. It was, and I was pretty strict on it. It was only for like 3 weeks. It was not a long time, but all of a sudden I had this energy that I've just never experienced. And I don't know about the long-term effects of keto. You know, this is not my area of expertise, but that experience showed me that, you know, people are living in different lives and have different experiences that you just can't even comprehend because you've never seen them before.
Yeah.
And so I thought of that when you were saying about the happiness thing. It's like, well, you can't be that happy all the time. It's like, well, I mean, you're right. You know, there's people get, you know, there's tragedies, there's all sorts of life that happens. But at the same time, I think a lot of people are living very elevated lives of happiness and fulfillment that quite honestly, like, I don't even know if I can fathom, you know, what that looks like. Sure. And so I think having an open mind about there's a reality out there that a lot of people experience that, you know, we may not, it doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means that we're not experiencing it.
Yeah. That's a great way of, saying it. I think one of the most kind of real life examples of that for me was, for the longest time, I didn't feel like I wasn't passionate about anything. And I felt like, well, maybe I'm just not the kind of person who gets to be passionate. Like maybe that's not for everybody. Maybe only like a select few people get to. I was wrong about that. I certainly learned how to find my passions in life. But one of the biggest things for me was before I met my wife, my wife and I have been together about 10 years now. Before we met, I had, you know, girlfriends kind of throughout my life and I loved each of them. And I thought, this is how much you can love somebody. This is the most I've ever loved. It's the most I know. And then I met my wife. Now I love my wife on a level that I've never loved another woman or anybody before, but I had to kind of learn how to love bigger. But once I did, it was, oh, wow, this is my new level of how much. So I thought I knew before, but now I'm experiencing this. Then I became a dad. And for anybody who's a parent, how do you explain how much you love your kids? Nobody can explain it to you. You have to experience that for yourself. And then the level at which I love my kids is so far beyond anything I ever experienced, like dating. This to me is probably the closest example I can give about when dating Corey is the person who shows up and says, sure, I've loved people and people have loved me. I know everything about how much you can love. Corey being a dad to two incredible little boys and getting to have the family that I do with a wife that I adore, this shows me really what's possible. And then if this is possible, why would I assume that I have it figured out now? Like that this is the extent of that. I want to keep going. So I think that's probably the best way I can explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. The kid, you know, the children conversation really resonates with me too. It's like, you know, like I would sacrifice my life for my kids. If someone was like, you know, you choose, you know, your kid lives or you live, it's like, it's not even a question,
right?
You know? And it's like before kids, like I can't even fathom that answer.
No. You know?
It's a whole nother level.
Yeah. And like you said, now it's automatic. You don't have to think about it for a second. Yeah. It's, your life is different now.
Now I'm curious about how you kind of formulated your business. I mean, you said, you know, you made a comment earlier that you've been working on it for 20 years. What does that even look like? I mean, are you doing like every personal development program out there? Are you just like journaling 4 hours a day, like a madman? I mean, like how do you do that on your own?
A big part of how I learn and grow is by working things out myself. I learned a little while ago that the dots actually do connect, even though it's tough to see sometimes. But once you start connecting enough dots, or once you start kind of fitting more pieces of the puzzle together, you can see that there's actually a puzzle. It's kind of like someone explained it to me one time. It's like you're trying to listen to the radio and you come up onto a frequency. And when you're on that frequency, you can kind of hear everything on that frequency. So I kind of got to a point where things just started to make sense and fit into that puzzle. And within that, it gives me a lot of room to explore new concepts and how they do fit. So I love when I'm designing curriculum for the gym, I'm just working out ideas and figuring out great ways to teach it to people. And so that's a huge way that I love working on myself. I've certainly worked with coaches. I love to read. There's a lot of ways to do it for different people. You know, when I say 20 years, it started with just, you know, a simple principle or two that I thought these seemed like really important ones. And I'm going to lean into these as much as I can. And then again, I would just learn this next principle fits also. And then this next principle fits also. And then what else fits? And just principle after principle started fitting into this puzzle, how they all work together. So it's kind of like a snowball that starts really small and then you start rolling it down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I've just been doing that for a really long time. And I won't say that, I mean, there were big chunks of my life kind of between 20 and 30, especially like I wasn't working on this hard or diligently or journaling every day. It was kind of a passive thought process, but it just made sense to me. And each piece that made sense just made sense to kind of connect a new piece and a new piece and a new piece. And that's really exciting because something that kind of our gym members get to see the more time they spend in the gym is they get to see how all these pieces do fit together. The more you see how they fit together, the easier it is to learn, the faster you grow. And that's a really exciting thing. So, but yeah, I love working on myself. I think it's the best for myself, for my wife, for my kids, for the gym members, for just everybody in my life. When you're a better version of yourself, you make everybody around you better. And that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I just want to ask one more question, and it's about the sort of relationship between work and personal. And to be honest, I don't even know exactly what the question is, but it's sort of, you know, what's your philosophy or advice that you give people when they're struggling with, you know, work and personal and quote unquote balance? I hate calling it balance, but you know, that tension between the two when, you know, maybe neither are going the way that they want them to go.
Yeah. I think it's okay to call it balance. People call it balance and people talk a lot about work-life balance as if they're two different things. I believe that one of the ways we need to shift our mindset on that is it's just life. It's just your life and work is a part of life. The balance has to be found there. Too many people are building their lives around their work. So work comes first, work is the priority, whatever needs to get done for work, cool. And then whatever else I can fit in goes around that. I'll give you an example of how I think about it differently. Every morning I need to meditate. I say need. It's not a life need, it's a me need. I need to exercise. I need to spend some time kind of thinking, either reading or with a journal or something like that. I also need to be a dad. I got to get my kids with their teeth brushed, breakfast, you know, get them boots, all that stuff. Get them out the door in the morning, get them to school and come home and still take care of myself. And I make sure all this stuff happens before I start my work day at about 9 o'clock. I am making sure that this happens because it's important to me. 5 o'clock comes, I stop. I'm back into dad mode now. I go pick up my boys. We do dinner with my family. Bedtime for me. Bedtime's not this negotiable thing that goes in and out. I go to bed when I go to bed. Like 10 o'clock, I'm in bed because I'm up at 6. And those 8 hours, those are non-negotiable. Some people say, oh, I need less sleep. You don't need less sleep. Everybody needs 7 to 9 hours. Science will tell you that. So don't tell me you're the person who only needs 4. We need our sleep. So you've got to decide what's non-negotiable in your life and what is negotiable. If self-care is non-negotiable, if family time is non-negotiable, if sleeping well is non-negotiable, well, then what's left might be a 9-to-5 workday. Now, I'm not saying screw work, and I'm not saying things don't come up. Sometimes I work in the evening, sometimes I work on the weekend, but I'm excited to do it because I love what I'm working on. I don't let it take over my life because you have to put work first. And we've got to decide, like I said before, we've got to decide what we really want out of life. We've got to ask ourselves if what we're doing, the decisions we're making, the choices we're making, the way we're acting and behaving, if that is fitting into and helping us get what we really want out of life, or if it's just maintaining the status quo. And we really want to look at life as kind of one big piece, with work being a part of it, not separating the two, work over here and life over here.
Yeah, I do. You know, I've always thought, until last couple of years, but I've always thought of work and life as like just these two things next to each other. And like one's bigger at one time and they're just sort of like adjacent to each other. But when you said, I think you just said piece, like, you know, it's a piece of it. It's like, it's almost like a puzzle piece. It's like a puzzle. Yeah. It's like work is just like a couple pieces over here. You got a couple pieces over here. It makes it feel, it's hard to change your mindset though, if you've grown up thinking that work was the thing that makes you successful in money. That's a big mindset shift to change. And that took me a long time to change until, you know, probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it is. It is a mindset shift. Again, I ask people the question when they say, well, I'm doing everything I want to do because I want to be successful. And I say, well, why do you want to be successful? And then they got to stop and think about that. People say, I want to be successful. I say, what does that mean? Then they got to stop and think about it. It's like, we all want to be successful, but we're not sure what success means. We all want to be successful, but we're not sure why we want to be successful. Well, that's not adding up. We've got to get clear on that. And yeah, you're right. Same thing. I grew up thinking money, power, status, like this is what you want out of life. And yet, when I really started paying attention and studying people who have a lot of those things, there was no correlation between that and happiness. And the science will show you there's no correlation between money and happiness past, like, once your basic needs are met, there's no correlation. In fact, there's a negative correlation once you kind of cross a certain line of making a certain amount of money, between money and happiness. So I hear people say things like, well, you know, I need to work hard because I need to provide for my family and give them this sort of lifestyle. And the truth is, no, you don't. You don't. You this lavish lifestyle that you want to give your family, that's, with all due respect, that's for your ego. That's so you can, you know, look good on Instagram and compare yourself to your friends. Once you kind of drop that need to compare yourself and measure up to everybody else, and you just prioritize your own happiness, you realize that you can still make as much money as you want. You can still make $1 billion, good for you, but you're not doing it to show it off. You're doing it for, you know, a reason that fulfills you. Once you prioritize your happiness and fulfillment, you find that you start making decisions differently. And I am not talking about, you know, throwing it all away. And I'm not talking about leaving city life if you don't need to. It's making little shifts at a time and little adjustments at a time to who you want to be, how you want to show up, the kind of life you want to live, and you'll get there.
Yeah. And you know, with making money, you know, making money is the engine, the fuel for having impact and, you know, maybe having different types of fulfillment, depending on what you want to spend your time on and money on and all of that. I mean, money is not a bad thing.
Not at all.
It's often just a problem when it's the number one priority.
Well, when you're assuming that it's the answer to happiness, it's a problem. I think the best way I heard it, I forget who said it to me, was if you want to make $1 billion, do it by helping 1 billion people. And I thought, well, that's perfect, right? That's where it's at. I'm not one of those anti-money guys at all. Make as much money as you want. But again, if you're doing it because you feel like that's how you're going to fill a hole in your life, you're just going to be disappointed. And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Corey, thank you so much. Really love the podcast and you joining us. Why don't you, how do people find you? How do they learn more about the gym? How do they get in contact with you?
Yeah. Check out the Mental Gym at mentalgymlife.com. That's mentalgymlife.com. I'm on LinkedIn a lot. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn and say hi, that would be awesome. Those are really the two best places to find me. Learn more about me or learn more about the gym. That's where I hang out.
All right, Corey, thank you again. Everybody listening, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Adam.